mind you, I thought I didn't get one.
That's what's up, yo.
Wild calls me. He's like, yo, man, I just got the shit. I was like, hey, I was like, yeah, man, like my page isn't loading up. I'm still trying to get it. Da 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 da. Well, I was like, yo, man, it's all sold out. He's like, I am so happy. Meanwhile, I just got kicked out of the website. So I was just like, yo, I just didn't fucking get it. I guess I'm gonna have to go through a reseller. First reseller was selling the shit for like over $1,000.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I look in my emails. I was like, maybe I just didn't see something. It was like Bandcamp, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for purchasing the West Side Gun vinyl. I was like, thank God, yo. Yo, what's going on? This is Nigel from the Highly Advised Podcast. It's not Nigel, excuse me. This is Relaxing NoG underscore Jackson from the Highly Advised Podcast. We, the three, are back, amigos and compadres, yet again for the people. And we have a full show for y'all. How are you guys doing this evening?
Man, it's great. Episode 80. It feels great to be back all as one. We form back like Voltron.
Yes.
This kind of reminds us of like the Power Rangers back in the day when they had to do their little dances and all of that. And then they became one big powerful thing.
The fusion dance.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
From like, Dragon Ball Z, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you probably put both the earrings in both your ears, didn't you?
What do they call it? The Pantera rings or whatever? You know the names of them.
Yeah, yeah. It starts with a P.
You know. Something like
that. No, I don't know how to pronounce it.
All right.
He flies for you.
You trying to play.
Not even. I thought you knew.
I know what you're talking about. I just don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, okay.
I bet so.
How are you doing?
All right. Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing great. For the listeners, you sure already know who I am. If not, go to hell. So what's up with you?
Oh my God. So, remind you, you just came back after a nice little break, after a cozy comforting.
All right. So let me introduce myself. Listeners, you already know who it is. It's me, the tribal chief, the original bad guy, the main event, Big Cozy, Too Cozy, formerly known as Big Cozy Big Silk. And I'm gonna give y'all a throwback. I used to be known by Lau Fade. Remember that shit, guys? But anyway, make sure y'all follow me.
No, I definitely remember the Fade era, man.
Yeah.
Can't forget, man. That one.
That was like, man, an era to remember. That was the Lacoste days. If the listeners, they'll hear those stories one day.
The Lacoste boss.
Might have to do like a Throwback Thursday and just have, that might just have to be a Throwback Thursday moment or something, y'all.
Oh, no, that's when the listeners, that's when we get like a certain goal of listeners, I don't know, in the hundreds somewhere.
After 1,000 listeners, after 1,000 subscribers, how about this? If for them to hear the story, they need to go on the YouTube page, which is the Highly Advised Podcast, right?
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And like, comment, and subscribe, but mainly subscribe. And when we hit 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube page, we can then give you the Lacoste Boss Fade Man era story. How about that?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I like that idea.
Y'all motherfuckers want that story, so you better do what he says. I'm telling you, y'all motherfuckers look up bad.
So before we get started.
Silk, man. A pimp named Fade, man. Yeah.
I was telling y'all a story earlier about, you know, we were going into dating older women a little earlier, and we were talking about stories from them. And I know.
Hold on, wait. You were telling me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Me and Spence were going back and forth about dating older women.
Okay.
Now
you were in the room though.
Yeah, you were actually right here listening to us talk about it, making noises and ad-libbing for Spence.
When?
5 minutes ago prior to recording. But anyways.
Oh, you talk about that. Okay. I thought you talk about like an old episode.
The tribal chief's becoming an elder now, man.
He is. It's okay.
Hey, acknowledge me.
A few weeks ago, we were talking about how putting your business in a relationship online can sometimes have unexpected events. Now, Jada Pinkett, being an older woman, unfortunately has put Will Smith in a position again where she essentially came out and made comments on his bedroom performance. You guys, how do you feel about this?
Can we just call it what it is? She, no matter how much we, and this is not answering your question, no matter how much people love to call Future the most toxic person and he's this, that, and the third, we have to really anoint Jada Pinkett Smith with this crown at this point, man. Let's just call a spade because like
the toxic queen. Yeah,
it was complete silence, utter silence. She's like, "Yo, the sex life between me and Will ain't really like that. He's not really doing what he needs to do." What? This is like kind of.
Well, did she say that he wasn't doing what he needed to do?
I'll get into what I got from what she said, but I'll let you go ahead, Spence.
Well, from what I've seen, and I'm not saying that's verbatim. That's not verbatim what she said.
That's not.
Oh, okay. It's like paraphrasing.
Yeah. All right. How about you just let it lay out what it is exactly so we're all on the same page?
So what I got from what she said essentially was, you know, at points and times, I expected Will Smith to know what was on my mind. I expected Will to know what was on her mind, I guess. And be able to, you know what she wanted when she wanted it. Now, here's my thing.
If someone loves you, because she said.
If somebody loves you, they should know.
Yeah, they should just know where her spots are because he loves her.
Now, I know for a fact, all of us have heard that from somebody at some point in our lives. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah,
lie. You never heard that.
You be having them type of issues, man. That's crazy. Yeah, all right, whatever. Y'all lying. Hey, Nigel, if you
really loved me, you would know how. You would
and
know
that's why you know what that sounds like because you heard it before. So that's that. Nah, yeah, and you were perfect too. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Yo, you're mad.
I'm not. I'm not. But that's what I got from it, though. Like to me, like. Like, I felt like she said some stuff that I've heard, you know, women say when they were younger. I don't necessarily agree with it. I mean, obviously, nobody's a mind reader. But I mean, like, you know. So
do you think that she's wrong for putting out what she did?
I mean, she's saying that's how she felt at some point in time. Like, I think she was wrong at that point in time. I don't know why she decided to say it. But why, I think a lot of women can relate to that, though.
Well, she was doing a red table talk.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's one of those. She got on a platform where historically she's been an open book about things that some people are not gonna favor what she's saying. So I'm like, is she necessarily wrong? Because if you watch that show, you should be expecting something like, "Hey, man, she's about to say something crazy." But so I felt like Will Smith, unfortunately, got the bad end of the stick on this red table talk deal. But I mean, is she really wrong for saying what she's saying out publicly on this show, on this platform, when people know, hey, she's been doing it? Are they? And I'm just saying that, like, when her saying what she said, like, yeah, damn, that sucks and that's unfortunate. And once again, Will is, you know, in the doghouse, right? No, I mean, it's unfortunate for him. It's really sad. But what? I don't know. I'm just not surprised. I saw a comment saying, like, she ain't shit. And I'm like, I didn't say that, but.
I don't know. But she said it like it was, like, in the past, though. Now, I don't really feel like she should have put it out at all. That's my thing. Like, just why say it?
I mean,
go ahead. My bad.
Well, I would say this, though. Now, granted, I think I'm not sure about everyone else, but at least I know, speaking for myself, I didn't see the clip that followed the conversation that proceeded after that to know if maybe there was some tying, like tying those loose ends up. But my thing is, this is that at some point, there's certain conversations we all know, like when you're in a relationship, no matter if you're with, if you're talking about that person or not, typically it's always going to be inferred by that, by anybody who you're talking to, because they're going to base it off of, if you're talking about having bad communication skills or bad sexual experience with your partner, I'm automatically going to think, oh, this person is probably talking about the person they're currently with, unless they're putting a preference of like an ex. But if they're like, oh, like if I'm with someone and they should love me, da da da. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think they're in those type of situations, I guess it makes sense only because she was trying to pull more from her guests. But at the same time, like I've said before, and I think many people, all of us, and I'm quite sure many people listening can agree, like certain conversations you don't have just because you don't want to possibly embarrass your partner at the root of it. And I think that might be something that, I don't know. I think it all depends on the person though. I think,
I feel like
relationship.
I think it depends on the person.
I feel like that's something a woman would say to one of her friends, just not on the radio or on a podcast. That's all.
No, don't. So this is not like off topic, but it's kind of related to what you just said. Piggying back off of it. I know piggying is not a word, but fuck it. And fuck you for the grammar police. So Sin Santana, you guys know her, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So she came out on, I guess it was a radio station or maybe a podcast. And she was basically saying like, hey, black men like Spanish women or something like that. And
right.
they typically choose us over black women or something. So she got a lot of backlash and shit like that. Now, I don't think Santana is like a racist woman or anything like that, nor I don't think like that comment had like racial intentions. Was it a dumbass comment? Absolutely. Did it need to be said publicly? No. But what I mean by mentioning her is people do come out and say stuff they shouldn't be saying publicly more often than what we think.
That's why
I said, like, I'm not entirely surprised. Like, she's kind of done this before, letting her business out there to the public. Yeah. So I'm not surprised it happened again. So I'm not saying that she's wrong in revealing it on her platform, but she may be doing wrong by Will Smith, by talking about something that, I don't know. We don't know if he was cool with that or not.
Yeah. I mean, and I can agree to that. Like, it's not necessarily wrong to have a conversation on the topic, but I think it, like we said before, it really all depends on the person's relationship.
Yeah.
At the root of it all, because like when the whole thing was going on with her and August Alsina, because like you said before, she has a history of these type of conversations coming out at some point in time. Even then, like, he was very silent throughout the whole thing. And then, of course, stuff came up in terms of like what maybe he may have been doing. So more often than not, people are saying like, hey, everybody, just because you see something doesn't necessarily mean that's like what all there is. So, I mean, who knows? Who really knows at the end of the day? Like, it's at the root of it all, it's their business. Like, it's their relationship, and they're going to figure out, like, they're more often than not, they're not going to not be together after all of this. So
poor Will.
No, it definitely is poor Will.
Yeah, though. Man, I hear you. That's just funny.
All I know is I'll say this before like leaving this conversation. I did see something on Twitter that was like, Will wouldn't even want her to die because then she would be able to fuck Tupac in the afterlife or something. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
They keep on bringing out Tupac and this shit, man. Like, yeah.
They find a way somehow.
I mean, didn't she come out and said, like, I think about him every day?
But I mean, but at the same time, right? I would expect that if that's someone that you had like a close relationship with.
Right.
Yeah.
No, right. I just think, because of her, people are making it into jokes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Of course, the internet's going to be the internet.
The thing is that there's nothing wrong with her saying that. You know what I mean? But all this stuff together just doesn't make for a nice mix. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, but trust me, I'm quite sure Will Smith, he may not be enjoying that type of the luck he has right now, but like I'm quite sure he, seeing Fetty, what Fetty Wap is going through, he's quite, I'm quite sure he's fine with what's going on in his case.
Yeah. Now he has a nice mix, doesn't he?
As far as it being nice, I guess it depends on who makes us for. Yeah. Like, you know.
Trust me, man. It depends on the judge, man.
what happened, Spence?
So Fetty Wap, apparently, it was a crime. So him and a few other people were picked up. I believe it was around five people that were allegedly accused by the U.S. attorneys of selling, of having distributed and sold more than 100 kilograms of deadly or addictive drugs, i.e. heroin and fentanyl, throughout Long Island. Which is kind of crazy in its own right. But what was even crazier is when they actually executed the search warrant. During the investigation, they recovered like $1.5 million in cash, as well as 16 keys of cocaine, two keys of heroin, numerous pills of fentanyl, handguns, rifles, a pistol, and ammunition, man.
Like, next time I force 48.
And he pleaded not guilty.
I mean, maybe it was just there, you know?
No, they're saying he's part. What they're saying is they were bringing in drugs and they were distributing it to like five people that would go out and sell all these drugs throughout Long Island.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah, no, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, like anybody that's watched, it's very reminiscent of like where we are, where they are right now in the BMF story for those that have been watching it. So.
That's crazy, man. Shouts out to Fetty Wap. I mean, I hope that, you know, he has the best luck he can have. You know what I mean?
He had a good first album, man.
Yeah, man. Shouts out to him for that. Yeah, a lot of hits on that album.
Listen, I always say this. He had one of them. I always feel like Fetty Wap is the prime example of the best symbol of what happens when you don't really carry an artist the right way. Like that his whole first album, it was like, what, five or six or seven songs that all were like top 10 songs in one year.
I thought the majority of the album was on the radio. Yeah, like
exactly.
It was an album full of hits. And then after that, it was just like nosedive.
Exactly. And my whole thing was like, my thing was always like, yo, if someone would have just said like, hey, instead of putting out all those songs on one album, imagine had he like split that up amongst like three albums, because you know, you never know how it works.
It would have been mediocre albums then.
But you never know how it works though. It might be mediocre, but at the same time, when those songs are huge hits, so
yeah, they are.
And you gotta think of, if you have six songs that are hits, if you have six songs that are all hits, right? And you say, yeah, I'm gonna give you those two songs, we're going to put two on three albums. Or even if we put three on two albums, like, you're going to be like, yo, this guy did it for two albums straight. Like, that's, to me, I always look at that. I always look at him and I look at 21 Savage. Because to me, 21 Savage, like, he came up and he popped really quickly just in terms of, like, a broader, like, listenership, right? But, like, he's never been an artist that was always quick to just drop music. Like 21 Savage will wait like a year, possibly sometimes two years in between projects. And like, I'm quite sure had he just diluted the whole system with his sound at that time, he more than likely may not be where he is. Who knows? That's always a coin toss, because that's a make-believe world. But it's, I don't know, it's just always interesting. Or even like you look at Future, like, I don't know.
Shouts out to Slaughter Gang. Shouts out to 4L, PDE.
Yes, definitely. Shout outs to all of them, man. Shout outs to 21 Savage.
Shout outs to 21 Savage, man.
Yeah, because speaking absolutely. Speaking of him, like, you remember Jay-Z was the one that helped him get out of that case. Well, helped him with that situation when he was on ICE.
Yeah, when he was like getting deported or some shit.
Yeah, man. Like,
yeah. That was crazy.
It was. That was probably some of the craziest news I've ever just gotten across, like, out of nowhere on the timeline. Hey, 21 Savage got locked up because he's from the UK. Twitter went upside down. The memes were the craziest things I've ever seen too.
The one of the funniest things about 21, before we talk about Jay-Z, because I know you mentioned him, was he said back in the days kids used to call him Taekwondo Kid in school. I was just like, why? Because of his accent.
That's funny.
I'm like, why that name?
Jeez, man, why? That sounds crazy. It doesn't even, like, and to me, my thing is, like, he's from the UK.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
Not even where Taekwondo is even, like, practiced.
It's just funny that they must have heard that in his accent. A UK accent sounds nothing like for them to call Taekwondo Kid, like, that's what they heard. Like, oh, like a group, God, of them. Like,
oh my god.
Sheesh, man.
Yo, if I was like cool with 21, that'd be his name on my phone. Like, that shit is funny.
That's hilarious. That's too hilarious, man. Trust me, and if he was to flip on it, I'm quite sure Jay-Z would actually help him out again. Like, would get him bells. Like, yo, it's like, yeah, you just got to stop calling him Taekwondo Kid.
You wanted to do that. You were waiting.
Yeah.
You were waiting to do that Jay-Z impression all episode.
I wasn't even thinking about it. That's the crazy part.
Oh man. All right.
Speaking of that, since we've landed on the goatest of goats, right? Jay-Z and actually another goat, LL Cool J,
yes,
were actually inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which some have said now it legitimizes the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now that they've been inducted. How do you guys feel about this?
Just the
inductee first and foremost.
Shouts out to Jay-Z, shouts out LL Cool J. They both are goats, both are legends and pioneers of the rap game. We really fuck with you. Scratch that. Why is there a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducting rap artists? Why don't we have a legitimate hip-hop/rap Hall of Fame? Like, why don't we have that? Like, I'm not mad at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because there's a lot of talented artists in the rock and roll genre, 100%. I'm not mad at it. I would even be mad if they did a song category, like, you know, hip hop song, whatever, because that's when you could get like the Steven Tyler, Run DMC collab with Aerosmith and shit like that. Walk This Way, blah, blah, blah. So what I'm saying is, like, why don't we have a legitimate, hey, hip-hop Hall of Fame, rap Hall of Fame? We should have that.
You know why?
Why is that? Because I've always wondered the same thing.
You want to know why? Because you criticize and don't support BET when they try to induct people into their Hall of Fames.
They have Hall of Fame?
Yes, they literally... doing every award show, they give like they induct.
the lifetime achievement award.
All of that type of stuff.
The inspiration award and stuff like that.
See how he lacks the accreditation.
Who are the nominees? Spets. Lil Durk.
A lifetime achievement award to
24K golden.
That's his making in the Hall of Fame.
First ballot. Dude.
First ballot. Oh, unanimous, man. Unanimous selection.
The first ballot Hall of Fame goes to Lil Durk.
So,
you know he's on there.
How do you guys feel about Jay-Z and LL Cool J though?
I think it's cool that they made it in there. I was watching the induction speeches from LL Cool J and Jay-Z today. Well, Jay-Z yesterday, but I was, listening to what they were saying, and I thought it was cool that, you know, you had Dr. Dre bringing out LL Cool J and Dave Chappelle brought out Jay-Z. And, you know, it was cool to see a whole bunch of, you know, essentially like, what do they call it? Like pat on the backs for a lot of other rappers, because they were shouting out like a hell of a lot of other people when they were, you know, giving out their, you know, speeches and whatnot. And I thought it was cool to just see that, you know, for, I feel like rap is like at this point where it's like we see the elder statesmen really giving, getting some of their flowers. I mean, not all of them, of course, but, you know, some of them for sure.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely agree there, where like definitely since we've gotten more now that I think music has just became a little bit more modern, or like there's just been more of a merge of genres, or more, while hip hop is now the leading genre, right? So everybody has to accept it. So I think it does, we are finally getting a chance to see those that are like our older statesmen, or those that have been like a huge influence within our game. And I mean that in terms of like the modern post golden era of hip hop, because Jay-Z would be more or less at the tail end of the golden age of hip hop, right? So,
okay, yeah.
So like seeing that from him, and then even someone like LL Cool J, who essentially would be right before, well, he existed during the 90s, but like, well, we all, the times that we remember hearing about him, a lot of times come from those 80 those records from the 80s. Yeah. But I mean, of course, he still did his thing in the 90s as well, but that's when he was doing his movie career and acting. Yeah. And he's actually still on like, yeah, he's on
in
like
Too Deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, you can't forget that one.
Bro, you know, he's on like he has a TV show on like CBS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like daily, like syndicated weekly, like him, Queen Latifah. Like,
I think that's for her too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe Dave Chappelle was the one that actually was actually one of the people that was an announcer for Jay-Z before he came out to actually announce him for the award. So this was pretty dope. And of course, like anybody that listens to this podcast, or like you both know, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper of all time. Like the
really? He's your favorite rapper?
Pinnacle. The pinnacle.
Oh, you thought it was Lil Durk.
No. I know he likes Lil Durk, but no, I mean, if he says Lil Durk is his favorite rapper of all time, then I'm like, I understand why we get into arguments. That's why I don't understand why he likes other likes. That's why I don't understand it.
Nah, man, what you mean? Yo, Durk, even Durk Cole, you know what Durk calls himself, right?
Smirk.
No, he calls himself the Chicago Jay-Z, man.
Is he the Chicago Jay-Z fans?
That's what he calls himself.
No, I'm asking you. When you say the GOAT of all GOATs, the pinnacle of the genre of rap music, and Lil Durk got that for Chicago?
Yo, listen. When you call yourself the Tribal Chief, right?
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm not gonna question if you the Tribal Chief. I'm gonna say, I'm the Tribal Chief.
You want to know why I'm the Tribal Chief?
Would you disagree? I don't have to question. You don't have to tell me why you're the Tribal Chief. Why, bro? Why? Because I believe you for saying, if you stand for yourself as the Tribal Chief.
Acknowledge me.
Yo, that's why every episode I'm like,
thank you.
Yo, the Tribal Chief.
You have been promoted.
Yeah, I've been shouting you out. I've been keeping your name strong in these streets, in these podcasts.
That's what's up.
Yeah, but that's totally different from saying you're the Jay-Z of Chicago.
Yo, listen, man.
If he said he's the Jay-Z of O Block, I'm like, yeah, you are. You know, you're the Jay-Z of O Block. But if he's of Chicago, you don't think Kanye is the Jay-Z of Chicago?
Yo, listen, man. Listen, when Lil Wayne called himself the greatest alive, and then know what we started calling him? The greatest rapper ever. So,
sometimes, I never call him that.
I never call him that either. I mean,
me neither. But hey, he was calling himself the greatest rapper of all time. He was calling himself the greatest rapper alive since the greatest rapper retired or the greatest rapper died. Yeah.
He's a GOAT for sure.
Yeah, he's a GOAT. I'll definitely agree. But that also comes from him running around. He was the first person saying he was the greatest. And then everybody else was just like, yo, Wayne's the GOAT.
Actually, Spence, you're wrong. Dr. Dre said in his own part of his induction speech for LL Cool J actually coined the term GOAT. Fun fact for the day.
Where am I wrong at?
Because LL Cool J was saying it first. He was saying he was the greatest.
No, I'm saying what I'm saying is Lil Wayne was the only one saying that at the time.
You said he was the first.
Yeah, at that time, yes, he was the only. Well, he was the first or only one saying it at the time. I'm not saying Jay-Z called himself the greatest rapper at one point in time. That when Lil Wayne says I'm the greatest rapper alive since the greatest rapper retired, that comes from Jay-Z, where he's like, I'm the greatest rapper alive since the greatest rapper died, talking about Big.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Of the 2000s, Lil Wayne was the number one guy. Once Jay-Z was like bowing out and getting into his business ventures, Lil Wayne was the guy. He was Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
He's Kobe.
Now, like I'm Kobe.
You know, he brought in somebody, and that somebody, the boy, he had an event come on this past weekend. I know Spence tuned in.
Oh, LeBron. Yeah. Yeah. So, man.
You talk about the LeBron of the rap game. same, Nigel. We all know
smiling so wildly for him, Spence. Oh, I'm sorry. Drake put on an event this weekend.
It paid Nigel to say that.
Yeah. You know, it's burning in his soul right now.
Yeah. It is. Oh, man.
It's like, geez, Nigel, have some composure, bro. Like, what's wrong with you?
All right. So, my bad. I'm sorry. What were you about to say?
I was just kind of getting into it. Like the event itself was the Till Death Do Us Part. This is probably one of the dopest events in battle rap. So right now, because it was something that was sponsored by Drake. So this was a Drake event where the battles that we saw that night were actually battles that Drake wanted to see. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So I think it kind of made it like even better, right? So the whole card, just to kind of go through the card, just to tell you who was on the card, it was Loaded Lux versus Geechee Gotti, Tay Rock versus New Jersey Twerk, Sue Surf versus Calico, T-Rex versus Rum Nitty, Jazz the Rapper versus Gattas, and Pat Stay versus Real Sick. Murder Mook was supposed to be on this card, but they couldn't come to like an agreement, so he couldn't make it. Because it was looking like he would battle Easy to Block Captain. That was the guy that battled Chess that we saw. But it ended up being a really good card for the most part. I didn't have a chance. I didn't catch every single battle just because I had some other things going on. But, bro, like, in the beginning of the battle, like, they start the battle off with, like, Jazz the Rapper and Gattas, right? I know that was the first battle I saw. And it was actually a good battle because it was, like, Jazz the Rapper's first battle back. She's barring this girl up. Gattas was doing all right, but it wasn't enough. Jazz the Rapper was just standing strong. After that, I would say to me, one of my favorite battles that night was Pat Stay, which is Lyle's man, as we all know.
Of course.
He is, though.
I mean, I like watching battles, but that's not my man.
I mean, that's your man.
You want to win.
What you mean?
Because I know Spence. If he wins, I know Spence will be very upset. That's why I like him to win.
Clearly, fans, clearly listeners, that's how you know who he roots for. He roots for Pat Stay. His beloved
Spence's opponents.
My ops. Look at the people I work with, man. It's like I root for your opposition every day and night, man.
That's the way it is in football, man, with y'all.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Another topic. My bad. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
Steelers just won, unlike your bum team.
Yeah. Not
Steelers
even.
Ball, soon the Steelers lose. Yo, why y'all gotta talk about me and the Steelers?
He does that. He does that every week.
Every week.
Ha ha ha. The Steelers. All right. Did your team win? Oh, I guess we're all losers. Every week the nigga do that. And now all of a sudden.
I got people rooting for Lamar Jackson just because I'm a Steelers fan. Or they'll root for Baker Mayfield. Shit. They don't even care. If they're against the Steelers more than once, they like them.
Yo, listen, I don't even like the Steelers. So
I know you don't.
Yeah, I didn't like the Steelers before I ever knew you, man.
I know. Yeah. I know.
What can I say, man? It's like, you know, y'all got who y'all got. So, you know what I mean?
But, anyways, Till Death Do Us Part.
Yeah, Till Death Do Us Part. I mean, but nonetheless, I'll say this. just kind of going through most of the cards, like the two main battles, because I did watch some of the Tay Rock twerk battle. It wasn't bad. It really depends on who you got on that one. But for the past day, real sick battle, I did want to say, I think it's a close battle. I may have given that to Pat Stay possibly. Actually, I gave it to Real Sick. I feel like Real Sick had better punchlines and bars, but Pat Stay was really keeping up with him. He did drop off a little bit at some point. Sue Surf versus Calico, that was a battle that I was really waiting to see. Sue Surf, I think I sent you guys the face off, right?
Yeah, you did. I didn't watch it though, so you gotta have to explain what happened.
Well, Calico and Sue Surf got into a face-off, and they kind of had a disagreement because, I don't know if y'all know, but Sue Surf, he got shot like 5 times, right? Mm. And this was like a couple of years back, and he actually missed the battle that was supposed to be Tay Rock and Sue Surf versus Loaded Lux and Hollow the Don. He actually missed that battle because I think he got shot. I think he got shot or he went to jail. It was one of the two. He got shot before one battle and then went to jail before one battle. But, Calico brought it up, so next thing you know, Surf just kind of starts going off on him. And he's like, yo, I got shot 5 times, and if you try to do this, you would die because you're soft. And then just starts kind of going off on him, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of a build-up to it, but Sue Surf came through, did what he always does. So it was a pretty good battle. And the Lux versus Geechee battle was pretty good. Lux actually forgot some of his bars, which I wasn't too happy about, so Geechee got to end up winning that battle. And actually, at the end of the night, they actually had a special announcement.
What happened?
They announced that they had another battle that they that was coming up soon. So the next battle was Cassidy. They announced that there's a new battle coming up, and Cassidy will be on the next on a URL card soon. Take the wildest guess of who he could possibly be facing.
Drake.
No.
Joe Budden.
Nah, far from. It's actually a rematch. He's battling Freeway.
I hope that's not the main event.
More than likely it is. I'll say this. I will say shout out to Freeway because I know he lost his daughter.
Yeah, like, that's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, he lost his daughter like recently. And I think he lost his son. Yeah, and I think he lost. No, Oskino lost his son last year, I believe. Mm. Or 2 years ago. Some, not too long ago, nonetheless. But
I mean, outside of that situation, which is very unfortunate, I'm not going to lie. I don't really want to see them battle. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. You know, but like, Cassidy's entertaining, so I mean, why not? You know what I mean? And really, in reality, who did he face last time? I can't remember his name.
Hitman Holla.
That was actually an entertaining battle, way more than I expected it to be. So, like, I mean, why not? You know what I mean? And I haven't seen Freeway battle in God knows how long, so I'll be curious to see how he approaches this.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he's going at that. Like, I'm quite sure Cassidy's going to be able to sell this like he sold the Hitman Holla battle, because I don't know if you remember the face-off for that one. Like, they end up, I think they had to end the face-off early because it kind of got like really crazy between the two. So I don't know. I think Cassidy, I will say that Cassidy he definitely knows how to sell a match. One thing I've started to notice is that battle rap is really taking a turn into like the direction that we see with like boxing and like combat. Well, just any combat sport for the most part, where we're seeing a lot of more face-offs and a lot more people playing a persona. And it's gotten even as far as like Drake and Smack have said they want to create a battle at some point that's going to be worth $1 million, where the winner takes $1 million. And Drake went as far as saying at the end of Till Death Do Us Part that he actually wants all his rapper friends, as his peers, to actually pick their favorite battle rapper and put money up. So I think that part I'm pretty interested to see how that's going to work.
Tax write off.
Hey man, I'm not mad at them getting paid either, though. You know what I mean? Like, shout out to them.
I'm not mad at the battle rappers. You know, they deserve change, you know, because they put a lot in their craft. And And for some of them, it's their livelihood. So shouts out to them. And there's a space for them to thrive in their career. But sometimes I think when people do things, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a genuine act.
Of course not.
It's just a, it's a mask for the tax write-off. But shouts out to LeBron. You know, he is the number one guy today.
Yeah, you're funny, man.
Yo, come on, let's be real.
I say that is because Drake has been participating in with battle rap for a couple of years now.
Spence, how long have you known us?
About 10 years.
All right, so I'm gonna give you a little story, listeners, and for you too, Nigel.
What you have to say, man?
Many moons ago, Spence was like, we was talking about money, and I was like, "Yo, if I became a millionaire, da da da, I'm giving my friends money, like, you know, da da." And Spence was like, "Nah, I ain't giving them nothing."
What? I never said that.
You said it. Because you was like,
continue the story.
Because you said, "Oh, what does it look like? I'm the one that worked hard, and I got all this money, and I'm just gonna give it away." And yeah. Okay.
That also sounds like something you would say too.
Right? Yeah. There's probably another part to that statement.
So now related to Drake. Well, as a hard working man as he is, he's gonna willingly give away millions of dollars.
No.
Because he's a fan of something.
No, because also also think about this. The other part of that statement is, no, I'm not just gonna give anybody money. I'm gonna give my friends jobs. I'll give my friend a job. I'm not going, if I came into $5 million, $10 million, $1 billion, right? Yeah. Instead of me just giving you money,
yeah,
you're just going to come back. I'd rather give you a job. So now at least it's like, okay, it's something mutual. So even if you want to go do whatever you want, I would employ my mother. And it's not in a bad way. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you, if you want to ask me for 10, if you know I got $1 billion, you might be like, yo, if I ask him for $50,000, that's not even no money to him. $50,000 is like $5. You might.
I don't know what kind of other friends you got, bro. I want to ask you for shit. Yeah, I mean, you would have to come out of your gracious heart to be like, yo, here's some money, right, or da da da. I'll be happy that you're a successful man. I would, no, for real. This is me.
He's trying to make me sound like Scrooge, man. Scrooge.
I mean, you said the shit. I wasn't even thinking that, but now it kind of makes sense, you know? Beat the science, bro. Wow. So,
yo, in case someone in 2040 is listening to this and I'm running for president right now, understand this is taken out of context.
I want to be
in 2040. We do not support the statement that I was saying.
I want to be the Secretary of Transportation.
Wow, why that specific one?
I'm not. I don't have to ask why.
All right. Yeah. All right.
I do not have to ask why.
Or the Secretary of Agriculture.
Mm. Hey, listen, man. Listen, man, you might as well. At this point, you might be able to be the next fill-in for Tank's opponent, honestly.
After
Rolly Romero, I mean, we saw the trash talking he did. It didn't. Clearly, he was afraid.
My trash talk is leagues better. Come on. I watch enough pro wrestling to know what to say on the moment and on the fly. So, and jabroni like him, it was just weird. You could tell that it was his first time being under the lights. He got stage fright, you know, and then he started saying little immature shit. Oh, my, you know, my private is bigger than you. And all Tank just could have thought was like, man, I can't wait for this easy paycheck because I'm knocking this guy. Tank was going to knock the guy out stiff.
Yeah, he was putting him out in the first round. I was like, he was going to put him out in the first round.
Yeah, Tank was gonna knock him stiff. If people are ready to spend their money, haha, you're an idiot because they're stealing your money for that pay per view. But fucking, it's funny that you mentioned him because his real name is Ronaldo Romero. So Ronaldo he fucked up a bag, listeners. He fucked his own shit up. So apparently this guy, quote unquote, allegation is he's a peeping Tom. The dude's a creep. He likes to sniff seats after women have been sitting on there.
What?
Why did you shake your head, Nigel?
Is that what he actually did?
No, he wasn't sniffing seeds.
Okay. That's very extreme. Like,
that's extreme.
Like, Jesus, man. Like, you need to be more than out of a fight. I'll put it like that.
No. Yeah. So
reminds me of some Joe Goldberg stuff, man.
He has allegations of sexual misconduct, and Showtime was like, nope, you can't fight. You know, investigations is going to happen now. Now, if he's clear of all charges, I'm pretty sure Showtime were trying to book that Tank Davis rematch. I mean, we'll fight. I mean, but if he is charged, boxing career probably over, because nobody's going to want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. But yeah, it's just saying, like, you know, he was revealing himself to multiple women, and multiple women are now coming forward about it. So I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, it's actually true. These are just the allegations. So now that fight is off. I don't know if they're going to keep Tank on the card and find a replacement, or they're just going to scrap it all together.
I mean, at this point, they probably end up scrapping the fight, but I'm sure he wants to get paid too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think the fight is supposed to happen like in the next few weeks anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to find some type of talent. I mean, granted, we did see. I would say it would be nice to see what's the kid's name?
Teofimo.
Not Teofimo.
You thinking of Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia. I was about to say the one Canelo said he just doesn't take it serious.
Yeah. But you know, like, Ryan wouldn't take that fight.
No,
on short notice, especially not.
I don't even think. I wouldn't even suggest Devin Haney to take that fight on short notice, just because it wouldn't make sense for it. I feel like in that situation, granted, it depends on what you're going for, right?
Right.
Now, like, if I'm Ryan Garcia, losing that fight doesn't change anything for the most part. It would just be like, yo, let me go for the gusto. But because I think, like, in his case, I think his window's passing and it's pretty soon. So
you're talking about Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia.
Yeah. But that's another conversation, because, the way I see it, he's just a product of corruption in boxing.
Yo, listen, man.
A product of corrupt protection.
Yo, listen. Listen, man. It's like that sometimes, yo. It'd be like that. I mean, but even then, like, the beauty of the corruption in boxing is that we finally get something that may be a little bit more justifiable to you. Okay. Your boy Jake Paul is finally fighting someone a little bit more credible, like Tommy Fury, who is the younger brother of the heavyweight champion of the world currently, Tyson Fury. What's your thoughts on this now since this has been announced?
I'm not going to crap on this fight, because this is something that we've been saying, hey, this needs to happen. He needs to fight a boxer. Of course, he'll never fight an elite level boxer at this stage of his career. But absolutely, for anybody to take him seriously as he's like, oh, I could fight Canelo, I could beat Canelo, da, 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 da. He needs to start working his way up the ranks. Tommy Fury, as his first real test against somebody who's actually boxed more than once, is good. This is a good rookie level fight, opening entry level curtain jerker fight. Of course, they're going to main event the pay-per-view, but, you know, because it's Showtime. But what I'm saying is just, hey, this is the right path for Jake Paul. And quite frankly, this is the right path for Tommy Fury as well, because he's a guy who just beats up bums and beats up guys with. I saw a record for Tommy Fury. His combined 7 opponents have a record of like 14 and 100 or something losses.
What? What?
Oh my God.
So you know the dude is fighting jobbers.
Jeez.
He's fighting jobbers. You know that.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, I'm not really up. It doesn't really. I put it like this. To some extent, it doesn't bother me too much, only because it's not like he was It's not like this was like, it wasn't like he just got called up to fight for a championship.
Right.
He's fighting. He's in the early stages, like someone like Canelo, for instance, right? We love and praise Canelo. But when Canelo fought Floyd, he was like 40-0. Couldn't name one of the 40 fighters that he fought. And more than likely the record, it might've been probably 20 to 1,000 probably was the combined record for those 40. So
I don't understand, you know, in the realm of corruption protection that you have to pad the record a little bit, you know, and that's part of the protection part. And I just feel like the fight between Jake and Tommy is the best fight for Jake. It's the best fight for Tommy. Hey, finally, we're going to see what's going on. And hopefully the undercard is going to be more of a spot fest with other circus performers on there too, trying to prove that they're boxers. So shouts out to this fight. I'm not mad at it. And nope, I'm not paying for it.
Well, you know why this is actually, I have a theory these two are actually really fighting, and it has nothing to do with Tommy Fury's record.
What's okay. your theory?
Well, you know, Tommy Fury, like he was boxing at, because I looked him up and I was reading on him, like he had boxed at one point, but stopped to do a reality TV show called Love Island.
And wow, really?
Yeah, and him and his date came in second place on the show. So a lot of that I think has to do with like, I haven't watched Love Island, but I believe they said it was the fifth season.
It's probably, he's from the UK, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm not sure what part of the UK they're from, but like, I'm sure it was some UK version of the show. Love Island, long story short, these young people, they get together on an island. They meet.
Oh, you watch
to
it.
Stay on the island. One of my exes used to watch it, yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
I watched it with
okay.
her a couple of times.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. You
the truth didn't
you
come see. Out. I watched the show. Yeah.
So you're
sure. Yeah. I'm the Love Island insider. Hey, look. I already said I like Love Is Blind. So I mean, that shouldn't be some surprise. Whatever.
That was a good Eve song. That was a good Eve song.
No, that is a good Eve song though. I heard that song a lot when I was younger on the radio.
Yes, bro. Oh, God, man. Crazy Eve song. What?
So did
my
you
boyfriend
think,
what was it? Never mind. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lau.
No, I was going to ask. So do you think that Clarissa Shields' love for being undefeated blinded her at her loss?
The transition, man. The transition. You gotta love it, yo. I mean, I think she was blind. I think love is blind because she didn't see it coming. I definitely tell you that much. She, there's something that you got that has to finally be said about this, man. That zero on your record means nothing at the end of the day. Because at the end, when it's all said and done, granted, we have someone like Floyd that perpetuates like this whole O, having an O on your record. But let's be honest, if you're fighting the highest level of talent, people remember you for fighting the best level of talent that you can fight, right? And in this situation for Clarissa Shields, it's a little different because she's still starting out in her professional MMA career.
Right.
So I don't expect her to fight like the highest level of talent, but I'm glad. I think it's good that she lost because she'll be able to learn more from it.
Well, the way I see it is, it's like this, right? Like at the end of the day, this isn't her like original sport. You know, she's kind of like, you know, coming into the sport, you know, and pretty new to it. Excuse me. My thing is this, right? Herschel Walker was in a similar situation. He came over, he got a win over somebody that wasn't well known, and then he ended up losing a few of his next fights and whatever.
No, Herschel Walker, he was 2-0, never lost, and he retired 2-0. Yeah, Herschel Walker.
Correct him, yo.
Yeah, Herschel Walker never lost a fight. What Herschel Walker got away with was he was fighting guys who were 0-1, 0-2. So that's how he was able, but it's not, I don't fault him for that because Herschel Walker is not a MMA fighter. He was a 50-year-old fucking man fighting at one of the top MMA organizations in the world.
Well, I guess my point, I guess to say it is this, right? Like, I don't really expect them to be fighting people who are like overly skilled. And if they lose or have fights where they're not looking the best, it's not really that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I'm not going to expect an MMA fighter to go over and just be boxing and become world champion either. I just don't. Shouts out to Clarissa Shields for still giving it a try. You know, a loss is going to be part of the process probably for a lot of people who would do this.
The Clarissa Shields thing, first of all, shouts out to her because she's undefeated in boxing and she wanted to make the transitions. And she was saying on Errol Hawani's show that, hey, what made me go to MMA is the fact that I know that if I fought Amanda Nunes, she would choke me out. No matter how hard I would try, I know she would go out there and just choke me out. So that's why I want to do MMA, so I could do my best to make sure that she doesn't choke me out. And I thought that was very ambitious of her because she's doing something that a lot of these boxers will never, ever do, which is come over to mixed martial arts. Now, granted, some of that has to do with money, because if you're fucking, you know, Floyd, hey, you're guaranteed to make 9 figures off of one fight. Why are you coming to MMA where Dana is only going to pay you, you know, at best, Dana, he'll cough you up $10 million. No, I'm the whole fucking show. So no, I'm not coming over there. So I understand that for the big time boxers. But Clarissa, even though she's one of the, you could arguably say the best female boxer today, she's not making millions of dollars off of just boxing alone. So she's coming over MMA. She's getting that extra paycheck. And the bigger that she gets, her MMA money might eclipse her boxing money. Because in boxing, let's face it, in female boxing, nobody talks about female boxing like that unless you're a boxing purist. So for Clarissa to come over, she gets a lot of respect. And her losing wasn't even that bad of a loss. It was a split decision.
Right.
The young lady that beat her, she didn't do a whole lot. She took her down, held her down there, control position. She did enough so the ref wouldn't stop it. That's it. Like, it wasn't like she beat Clarissa up to a pulp. She was leaking. It wasn't like that. You seen that. She didn't want to trade with Clarissa on the feet. Clarissa was cracking her lips, you know, making the corner, gave the young lady some chapstick. So it was just, I felt like, it's like, good job, Clarissa. Yes, you lost. Now learn from it, and hopefully in your third MMA fight, you become a lot better from whatever you're going to learn and with your camp at the gym and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think she will. Like I said, like, I think a loss isn't a bad thing, man. Like, a loss isn't a bad thing, and like you said, it's not her primary sport when it's all said and done. If this is like her primary sport, then it's a whole nother conversation, but when it's all said and done, she'll more than likely learn more from this loss, like you said. Like, she'll learn more from this loss and then come back even better. But it's nothing to be like super upset about. Like, this is literally someone we're watching prepare themselves for what ideally what seems to be their desired fight, which would be Amanda Nunes. So yeah. Like, now I think her actually being an MMA fighter, it'll help her, I think, from the technical standpoint of actually fighting her. But I think in terms of like the quality of stock or the demand for the fight, I think that may diminish depending on the performance that Clarissa Shields is providing us in her fights. But I mean, that's only from her. Only thing that changes that is if, depending on, like you said, you take a loss, you learn from it. And it's like, you're very early on. And we all, like we said, we all know she's doing this to eventually hopefully fight Amanda Nunes. So, or if not her, if it becomes somebody else that comes after Amanda, like we just never know when it comes to MMA. So it's like, hey, it is what it is. Now, the main thing is when she's learning from this, hopefully it doesn't pull her back too much, because I believe she has a boxing event coming up sometime, or she'll have a boxing event probably coming up in her next bout, if anything. So, but I don't know. I at the end of the day, I think she'll be fine. She'll be fine when it's all said and done. People can knock someone for a loss or not, but too many people, more often than not, people are more likely scared to go in and do another sport, like you said. Like, a lot of her contemporaries are probably not, would be way too afraid to do something like this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, but outside of her, though, like, even into the boxing world, we have someone like Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant, which I'm not sure if y'all saw, but not too long ago, they had their face off, and they actually ended up erupting a little bit, where it kind of got a little physical. But they should actually be fighting this weekend, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, fight's coming up.
Yeah, so you guys got any predictions on this fight?
Canelo.
Damn.
You got a prediction, Nigel?
I mean, I think Canelo's going to win, probably. I think that he'll finish the fight, but I think he'll finish it later in the fight. I'm not sure what round, though.
Yeah, I got it. I have Canelo probably in the 7th or 8th round.
That's fair enough. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, 7th or 8th round. I mean, Caleb Plant does look good, but I mean, it's Canelo, so we don't really know you never know what can happen when you put someone like him in there. With whoever his opponent is, he typically always dominates no matter how good the opponent is, minus Triple G, of course. But so, I mean, but it is what it is. I think outside of that, though, talking about a sport like boxing that's about to come up, UFC 267 actually showed up over the weekend during the Halloween week, which I did not realize was actually in the middle of the day.
Yeah, man. You missed out.
I had to go back and watch it, man.
Did you watch all the fights?
I watched most of the fights. Okay. I watched the majority of the card.
So did you see, before we get to, because there was three like really big fights towards the end of
four.
But there was another one right before that, Khamzat. Did you see him fight?
Yeah, he ended the fight with a submission, I believe, right?
Yes. Now, what were your thoughts on that fight?
From what I remember watching that fight, he kind of dominated the fight the whole way through. I believe it ended in the first round, because this was his first fight back.
Since COVID.
Since COVID, yeah. So, to me, he looked like a beast, and he dominated. It was a fight that I'm guessing I think many people were coming into this fight wondering how he would perform, and he just did a star-studded show. I saw as far as people on Twitter going and saying it's like he's cheating because he has Khabib in his corner. But
you're thinking, no, you're mixing up two fights, but Khamzat was pretty like dominant. If you saw the fight, he lifted up Li Jingliang and to the corner where Dana White was, and spoke to Dana White, and then took him down, and then beat him, and then submitted him. So yeah, that was pretty much the end of that. Li Jingliang defended one takedown, and after that, the fight was pretty much done in the first round. Khamzat's only been hit 2 times in the UFC.
That's crazy.
And he's punched out his opponents like over 200 times.
Yes.
That's scary, man.
He's the guy.
Yeah. That's scary.
His next fight should be a top 5 contender fight.
It's
time. Let's not bullshit it. It's time.
They're saying, I've heard the names Magny thrown out.
Nope.
Luke A.
Okay, that's a good fight. That's a solid fight.
Diaz.
No, he's gonna wreck though. Nate,
come
he's,
on, man.
He'll kill me.
Yo, why? Yo, people will find a way of putting a
they Diaz love in. They love to. I love it. You know, they want the Diazes to fight everybody. It's great. And the last name was Burns.
Okay, that's a top 5 fight.
I would like to see that.
I think Burns is probably the most fitting, personally. I think that Burns is a real big placeholder for, hey, you're either going to be in the top 5 or you're going to get knocked back. And he's the guy to do it. Well-rounded, power in his hands. You can't really mess around with him. He's trying to finish the fight as well. I think that's the fight he does. And if he goes in there and puts it on Burns like that, he needs to be fighting Usman next.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really interesting to see. I mean, It also does also would depend on his performance against
exactly
Gilbert as well. Because if he starts as Gilbert like it's nothing, then it's like yo, you made your way to the title shot.
Now, if he were to fight Magny, I wouldn't be mad at that fight either. But I feel like he honestly would go in there and beat Magny.
Yeah, I think he would run through Magny. I think he'll also run through Nate as well. He needs to. Luque is a great option. And freaking Gilbert Burns is also a great option. I think he should also get a chance at the loser of Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal. That's the reason why I say that because of ranking. So these are fights that he needs to have a top five opponent. But if he can't because they're all booked up or they're all ducking him, then at least top 10. But if I was him, I would have took the Neil Magny fight. That is a waste of time. Unless he just needs a paycheck.
No, I think he wants to go for the title. The way he's running through people, he's not trying to waste time. I think he's going for the belt. Like, it makes sense for him to fight him, but at the same point in time, the way he just ran through his last several opponents in the UFC just put him in the top five at this point.
Yeah, he needs to start fighting elite competition. It's, at this point, he's just ragdolling the lesser competition.
When you lift somebody up to the corner to go talk to Dana White and do it easily and then win the fight immediately after that, that's a, hey, look, I didn't try that hard.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it shows you, like you said, he deserves stiffer competition at that point because that doesn't even do any justice for him.
Yeah.
It's hurting him because because you remember with Khabib, when he was literally extending fights just so he can get rounds in because he was dominating everyone. So it's like, with that type of talent, you want to make sure you safeguard it. Cause definitely someone like Dana knows that, like, hey, this kid could be something. And definitely when you have someone like Usman sitting at the top, when you look at that top five and you get to that top three and the champion, it's not an easy bout. It's not an easy way to the championship by no means. So him going into a top five fight like Burns or Vicente Luque, I think that would definitely get a better understanding of where he sits in terms of like that for the division. So
100%. So now, do you want to lead us into the next fight on the card before we close out the recap of this show?
Well, I just wanted to, at this point, I want to talk about the three last fights on the card because those were the three that we really enjoyed. And I think they have the big storylines from the card. First off being Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker. Now, this is the fight where Khabib was in the corner. Right. And I saw a meme earlier today where Khabib was like holding a PlayStation controller as Islam had Dan Hooker in the submission. Like he was trying to tap him out in UFC on the game.
Jesus, man. Jeez, man. I blame Hezbollah.
Like, oh, wow.
It was a good bout. I mean, I was keeping my eyes peeled for this because I know you've been talking about seeing Dan Hooker fight.
Yeah, for a minute now.
Yeah, he was doing pretty well, but it wasn't enough at some point. Like,
I don't really think he was ever in the fight. I mean, if I'm being honest, the fight was only like but so long. Like, he took him down and kind of just worked him into the submission. And by the time the submission was put in, Dan Hooker was in his arm was under his body in the way where he couldn't tap out.
You're right. My bad. I'm thinking of a different fight.
Oh, it's all good. No.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a different fight. Yeah, that was a quick one. Yeah.
So I mean, like when I saw it, I was just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like he's clearly the guy at lightweight. I mean,
title shot.
Yeah, he's in a similar situation with Hamza, where he's just running through all of his opponents. And like before this fight, I was like, all right, Islam's cool, but like when he beat Dan Hooker, I was like, all right, this is it. You know what I mean? Like he's now doing this to people who Dustin Poirier had a war with Dan Hooker. He went in there and finished him in a few minutes easily. You know what I mean? So like, I know MMA math isn't always like, you know, the great thing, but yeah, he made it look easy.
Yeah. Shout outs to him for that too. Cause it's definitely when you, like you said, when you see because it's very impressive when you watch like fighters, because I think we talked about this before, where you're able to see certain fighters where it's like, oh, this, when you do the math of like, oh, he's having a hard time with him, so this has to be a good fight, but then he gets starched by another guy. But it shows you like that, just that the margin of the margin between each fighter when it comes to talent levels at the end of the day. So
yeah. So yeah, the next fight, the co-main event for the night, Piotr Jan versus Corey Sandhagen. Lyle was waiting for me to mess up his name. He listened to that. Like, that's crazy. Piotr Jan comes away with a decision. I was watching the fight, and you know, at first I had the fight 2-2 heading into the fifth, but like I understand why the fight was kind of like scored the way it was, so I'm not really mad at it at all. I think Piotr Jan had a great showing. I thought that as the fight went along, he got stronger, and you know, just like the same, similar into the Aljamain fight, where it seems like these fighters think that they can outpoint him or just kind of pressure him, but he doesn't wilt away later on into the fight. One thing I also noticed that Corey Sandhagen's corner, all they said in the last fight or in the last round was, just make sure and touch him. You don't have to knock him out. What type of fucking advice is that?
It's bad advice.
That's terrible, terrible advice. Like,
what you mean? Just touch him. You ain't got to knock him out.
What? Why did they have him going into the fifth round assuming he won the fight? In that close ass fight.
Like, that fight was entirely too close. The same as you. I had to go in 2-2 going into the fifth.
Really?
Yeah, I thought y'all was boxing his ears off. Well, listen, hear me out. So I watched, this was ended up being a fight I ended up watching like 2 to 3 times, right?
Okay.
So in the first time watching it, I had a 2-2 going into the fifth. But after rewatching, I see how I can easily be at 3-1 exactly. Going into the fifth. Because I feel like, I feel as though Pilter. I've been practicing saying his name for the past 48 hours.
Oh, you knew Lyle was about to check you on it.
Yeah. I thought it was you. I don't care.
Do you?
No, I just think it's funny. I think it's funny to make fun of us when we mess up on the names.
Yeah, no, that is a fact though. But I thought watching it again, you saw where Jan only lost the first round, right? Where he lost the first round, he made the adjustments, and he was more or less touching him without knocking him out and going over the next three rounds, and then going into the fifth was it wasn't really much left at that point. Like it was kind of definitive, and you could tell like telling your fighter like, hey, just all you gotta do is touch him, is not really gonna get you it's not gonna get you anywhere. In the long run, definitely, like you said, going for one being down, he really should have been looking for a knockout in the fifth round.
I agree.
But what do you think of the fight, Lyle? My bad. Were you done, Spence?
Well, for the most part, yeah.
I think that Piotr Jan had a great performance. I felt like we learned a lot about him once again, and I gave 3 rounds to. One going into the fifth. I thought the probably the most debatable round of the fight might have been that second round, but I gave that round to Piotr Jan because of the
leg kicks or the body kick.
Well, the body kick, but all, you know, just the damage overall. While I felt like Corey Sandhagen, he was starting to slow down at the end of the round, and his punches landed weren't really punches. They were kind of like he's just touching and it was to score points, not really impacting him. And the thing I liked most about that fight was how Pilter was every round. He was just kicking it up a notch. Yeah. He was going up another level every round. And I was like, yeah, man, this guy's the best bantamweight in the world. And if he fights Aljo again, I don't know. I don't see Aljo beating him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Cause that's the fight to make now at a bantamweight. So I'll be curious to see.
Yeah. Same here.
Now, after that, the main event came on, And this was a surprise and a half. Last week on the podcast, me and Lau were doing the predictions for the show. We both gave multiple reasons why Glover Teixeira should have lost this fight, and he did not. He actually is now the UFC's light heavyweight champion. Light heavyweight champion from Brazil hasn't happened in a while. Leo Machida was the last Brazilian light heavyweight champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Or no, wrong.
Who was it?
Shogun.
I said, I just said Shogun.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Shogun.
You got to listen. You got to peep the signs. Anyways.
I
can't be mad at that, Nigel. Peep the signs. I'm mad at that.
That's funny, man.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Spence?
I was going to say he was also, I believe he's the second oldest fighter to actually win the championship as well.
Who's the first? Do you know? Randy Couture?
I'm not sure. That's who I'm assuming it would be.
I'm sure it has to be Randy Couture.
It has to be Randy.
Listeners, correct us. I'm not looking that shit up. I'm assuming it's Randy Couture. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, you know what I mean? But like, whatever. Anyways, Glover Teixeira won the title. Second round submission. Who would have thought, you know what I mean? He really just kind of dominated the fight from beginning to end. It didn't really look like Jan ever really, DC said it when he was in the ring with him, it never really seemed like he got into the next gear of the fight. I'm not sure if something was off, if he just, you know, if it was something, but honestly, the only reason why I could think, like, I just feel like Glover was just better and he won the title. I don't really want to take anything away from him because, you know, it's a long time coming. You know, he's been in the UFC for a bit doing this. And, you know, shouts out to Glover Teixeira.
And congratulations to him. He could call it a career now if he wanted to. And shouts out to him.
Yeah, nah, definitely shout outs to him. I think it's super dope that even at 42, he actually ended up finally becoming champion. It just kind of shows like the resiliency of a fighter. But yeah, nonetheless, shout outs to him. I'm curious to see how his next bout goes. Now, one thing I will say is that it really just shows me now that John Jones has left this division.
I didn't want to be the one to say it. I said that shit.
Yeah.
I said that shit in a while.
when I watched the Glover Teixeira fight, right?
Right.
I didn't watch him when it live, but I had no idea who won. Okay. I had no idea who won. So when he won the fight, I was like, yo, this belt is really having like a nice little greasy neck chain tour right now. This is when I understand like, oh, how someone could be so good that it just, the talent doesn't even exist. Nope.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Like, think about that. If he was there, probably neither of them would be champion. We'd probably be talking about him facing like, I can't even remember his name, Brazilian light heavyweight.
With a Thor on his chest?
Nah, he just fought him though.
Yeah, not Dominic Reyes.
Wow, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh.
What Brazilian dude?
Just fought the guy who has the hammer on his chest. I can't remember his name right now either. I'm having a huge, Thiago Santos. Who just fought him?
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Walker.
Anyways, yeah.
Wow. Like, shout outs to John. Shout outs to John Jones. Shout outs to John Jones, man. It just shows you, man. Like, I thought it was something when we finally saw DC finally be champion when John was gone, right? But now that John has literally vacated the whole division, they just having fun out there now. You got Adesanya coming up fighting at 205 for the championship. Now you got Glover Teixeira. This is interesting now, man.
Yeah. So shout out to 267. That was an interesting card. I'm glad it came on during the day. Unfortunately, but fortunately, we have UFC 268 coming on next weekend. And there's a few good fights on the card. I want to start on the main card. And just go on some fights. I'm not going to name all of them, but there are some fights that you should, you know, pay attention to. Now, I'm going to start off with Frankie Edgar versus Marlon Chito Vera. Interesting fight at bantamweight. Curious to see what happens. Frankie Edgar coming off of a knockout. Marlon Chito Vera coming off of a loss, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. Lyle, I know you know, right?
No, he's coming off a decision win.
Off of who?
I don't know the gentleman he beat, but he is coming off a decision win. You guys could look it up.
Okay. Listeners, look it up and tell us in the comments. I think personally that Frankie Edgar is going to take this fight. But that being said, though, he could easily not. Marlon Chito Vera, it's going to be interesting. Frankie Edgar is kind of in a weird spot in his career, but... You know, shouts out to both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be interesting to see. I'll probably be going with Frank Edgar on this fight. But at the end of the day, it should be interesting to see. I think the last fight that he actually fought was earlier this year against Grant. Yeah, that was the last win that Vera actually had, which was a decision win. Grant. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember that fight now. Well, shouts out to both of them.
That Shane Burgos fight, that's actually, that might be fight of the night. We got two guys that like to walk forward and block punches with their face and block head kicks with their neck. You know, that's a fight that fans should not want to miss. That's not a bathroom break fight at all. So, yeah, Shane Burgos, Billy, Quarantino, Nigel.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I mispronounced his last name wrong, but that's that right there. That should be a really good fight.
Yeah, I think.
And I'm choosing Shane Burgos to win.
Yeah, well, you put it that way. It sounds like it should be pretty interesting. I don't know enough about Shane Burgos' opponent to really come up with a decision in terms of his opponent, but I'll go with Shane Burgos.
The next fight is Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler.
Who do you guys got on that?
I want Chandler to win. And I think Chandler can win. This fight is close as a pick 'em fight gets, because either man could knock each other out.
That's true.
Either man have proven to be durable fighters. But also, either men have been proven that they could get washed early in the fights, too. So I think I'm going with Michael Chandler, because I think Michael Chandler, he has the same tools as Justin Gaethje has when it comes to boxing. Same knockout power, knows how to use his range. The only difference between their striking is Justin Gaethje uses a hell of a lot more leg kicks. His leg kicks are a lot more stiffer. Now, the reason why I'm going with Michael Chandler, his wrestling is better than Gaethje's wrestling. Michael Chandler is not afraid to use his wrestling, as he's been using his wrestling in past fights prior to the UFC, i.e. the Eddie Alvarez fights. So what I'm saying is, I think he just has more tools to beat Justin Gaethje. I know the crowd is going for Gaethje because he's a fan favorite. I think this is a fight that favors Michael Chandler. I don't think this is going to a decision, so I'm predicting a second round knockout.
This fight's definitely not going to a decision. I can say that right now. This is like probably the easily candidate for fight of the night on this card. I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje because I think his stand-up is slightly better than Michael Chandler's. I think Michael Chandler's stand-up depends a lot on his quick twitch muscles. And I feel like because of that, like he can kind of get in and get out type shit. You know what I mean? I think he like depends on being fast and athletic a little bit more. I think Justin Gaethje, I'm not saying either of them are stand-up wizards because they're not, but I think Justin Gaethje's stand-up is just a little bit more spot on, and he's shown that specifically in the Tony Ferguson fight. Now, does he always fight like that? No, he doesn't. But I think that he has the capability to be in the fight, in the stand up more in this fight.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing for me, and that's why I'm actually going with Michael Chandler, because I, like you said, he's typically not always, when you fought Tony Ferguson, he doesn't always fight like that,
right?
And we all know, like he's came out candidly and said before, sometimes he can get caught up in the allure of just the the standing and banging and really lose sight of a game plan. And I think when it comes to someone like Michael Chandler, who's really like I agree with you both. This fight isn't going to make it the distance. If it makes it the distance, then I think as fans, we all probably are upset. Right. So to me, I think because of that, I think Michael Chandler is going to bring out that dog out of Justin Gaethje that is just going to think, hey, I'm going to just sit and bang. And I think Michael Chandler might end up, I think Michael Chandler is going to get the best of him in that situation. Now, where it ends, I think it may end up ending in the second round. It's very possible that this could very well end in the first, but I'm going with the second round just because there will be a filling out process possibly. But I mean, either way, it's going to be a great fight to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then I know following that, I believe it's the Rose Namajunas versus Weili Zhang.
I'm going Rose, man. Dark Rose. I'm going
Zhang to win.
I know Naito wants her to win, but he was pretty vocal about it the last fight. So I think Thug Rose wins. I don't think it's a fluke that she beat Zhang Weili. I actually don't like the excuses that Zhang Weili is coming out with.
What's she saying?
The crowd distracted her because of all the booze and shit. So I have Rose.
Yeah, I'm going with Rose as well. And I say that because, I mean, we've counted Rose out before. People have counted Rose out before, and she's came through with those types. And she's came through and delivered when people doubted her the most. So, I was almost about to say doubted her the least. but yeah, so yeah, I got to go with Rose. There's no other way. Now I think Zhang Weili, she will probably get she'll probably find her way at fighting for a championship eventually down the line again. But right now, I think Rose is just a rose that's the petals of Rose have blossomed. You know what I mean? You feel me?
So yeah, the main event. The main event has okay. Lyle's ready for this one. Go ahead and introduce it, Lyle. Go ahead. You're awake now.
This is the prediction.
Kamaru Usman beats Colby Covington for a second time by unanimous decision. And the reason why I say unanimous decision and not by some type of finish is because I believe Colby Covington is a lot tougher than what his detractors say about him. Also, I think that he did show some improvements in the Woolley fight, despite the fact that he fought an old bum, washed up Woolley. What I'm saying by that, if you watch the first fight between Usman and Covington did not have his hands up a lot when he was fighting. He actually fought a lot with his hands down, and he was coming forward with reckless abandonment, leaving him open for counters and a bunch of power shots. So I think he will defend. Now, he's not going to have this improved striking defense where he's slipping punches like a boxer. No, I think he's going to get hit because even the Woolley fight, he got hit. And Woolley's a slow puncher. So I think that Usman is going to hit him enough. I just don't think it's going to be an easier fight than said. Also, I think Covington is going to mix in wrestling this time where he didn't last time. So I think that's going to also make the fight into a stretch out the fight longer than the last fight, because it's going to be more of a mix-up game. I don't think Covington is going to beat Usman on the feet. I don't think he'll beat him on the ground or in the clinch, but I think he's going to be a lot more game than he was the first fight. But Usman's going to win and retain his status as pound-for-pound king, and he's also going to retain his status as best welterweight in the world, and he's also going to be competing for the greatest welterweight of all time with this win.
Yeah, I mean, at the root of it all, I do agree. I have Usman winning this fight again in this rematch. I don't think there's really anything to question there. I do agree, though, despite what detractors do say, Colby Covington is actually a worthy opponent. A lot of the reasons why people dislike Colby Covington is because of the trash talking he does. And a lot of that trash talking, he needed to actually get him to the dance because he was doing what he's always been doing, but eyes weren't on him as much until he started taking the Conor gimmick, right? So I do think this fight will more than likely go to a decision. At the earliest, I could only see something probably happening in the fifth round. If either fighter were to discontinue the fight, it would be in the fifth round, just because they're both tough, and as well as like they genuinely don't like each other. So I think it fuels that part as well. But nonetheless, I think this will be an interesting fight. I think Kamaru Usman will actually get the best of Colby Covington once again. Colby will probably try to wrestle him, but even then, I do believe that Kamaru Usman is preparing for that at the end of the day, because I mean, the first time they fought, it was nothing more than a stand and bang fight for five rounds. Five rounds. So like this time around, I think it's going to be like, okay, hey, they could easily roll the mats to the side and say, hey, we're going to stand and bang again. But at the same time, I think Kamaru Usman, as he's elevating his game, he has to also be prepared for, hey, this guy knew he couldn't beat me with the game plan of just sitting there and fighting me. If he tries to sit and wrestle me, I need to be prepared for it. So,
yeah. I think Usman might initiate the wrestling first in the fight. Hmm. And I think he's going to press for not so much where he's going to try to get in a firefight, but to be able to press him against the cage and wear him down, kind of like what he did with Masvidal in that first fight, where he had him against the cage. And then I think like once Kobe starts to get worn down with that, Usman will start turning it up with his boxing, and then eventually, maybe he might put him away, but I think that. I see this fight being competitive the first two rounds, and from the third round to the end, I think Usman takes it home.
Yeah, I mean, that actually helps, though. If he were to actually come out and start wrestling, initiate the wrestling, that probably will take away some of Kobe's confidence as well.
Yeah.
I have Usman by fourth round TKO. I think that he's going to, like y'all said, essentially come in and use his wrestling. Well, I think that the ground game will be more involved in the fight, no matter who initiates it. But right. I think that because of that, I think that will leave for openings for Kamaru Usman, who I think has the better stand up to get some type of TKO in the fourth round, whether that be on the ground and pound or on the feet standing up. I just think I don't think the fight isn't competitive, because Colby Covington can fight no matter what anybody has to say about him or how he is. He is the guy that's, up to fight Kamaru Usman. I'm not mad at it. I think that he has the skills to stay in there with him, but I think if you're talking about a faster pace with more ground involved, I think that, that just leaves for openings for when the person who is less skilled to be more open for targets for the person who's more skilled, being Kamaru Usman.
Right. No, I definitely agree there. I think at some point those openings will show, and someone like Kamaru Usman, who's at that championship level, that at the end of the day, when you're the champion, people are preparing to fight you based on what they last saw, and you're trying to get better than what your last performance was. So I think in that space, he probably will end up having to turn up at some point, definitely in those the latter parts of those rounds where you'll be able to actually see those gaps. And but at the same time, Kobe's not a slouch. Like he's got a lot of heart, even if he's tired. So like,
yeah he does. And the thing that's concerning me about the fight is how much damage is not damage, but how many strikes is Usman going to absorb? Because for anybody that actually watched these fights and pay attention to Kamaru Usman, the guy doesn't utilize head movement that well.
He gets hit,
and his striking defense isn't the best. So even though that his boxing has got better and he does have knockout power, hopefully Trevor Whitman has cleaned up his defense as well when it comes to striking, because Kobe might not have that knockout blow, but over time, volume does create damage. Look at Deontay Wilder. Let's bring it back to MMA. Look at Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler. Nick Diaz was getting punched out to the point where he's like, yo, I had it coming. Like, he couldn't fucking withstand any more punishment. So hopefully Usman has that part of his game cleaned up. Like, hey, I need to move my head a little more, you know, and, you know, make sure my hands up are a little more. Because Kobe, he's going to keep coming. Well, however he is, he's going to keep coming until you make him not come anymore.
Right. Until you take him out, essentially, with the TKO or some type of finish.
Yeah, so. Them foot stomps, man. He's
practicing.
Yo, listen. Yeah, man.
He was practicing.
So let me get, I'm getting this boy up out of here one way or another, man. But I think, nonetheless, I do think 260 is going to be an interesting card to watch overall. For listeners that are listening to this on the day that the episode comes out, or prior to Saturday, this fight will, UFC 268 will be on the 5th, I believe.
Yes.
On the 5th of November, so that this Saturday, so in just two more days.
Six.
So make sure. Well, the 6th, my bad. Yeah, November 6th. So it'll be in two more days. So make sure you get a chance to watch it if you can. And if not, because I know it's a pay-per-view event, hey, hopefully you had a chance to watch 267 because it wasn't a pay-per-view event. So that was also free for the listeners if they do want to take a chance to listen to it. So
go to a bar, grab some friends, get together, or, you know, find another way.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Before we get out of here, man, just wanted to give, and I think probably in the next few episodes, we can really talk more about it. But wanted to give a shout out to Rome Streets, him and Ransom. They actually put out a project together, which is pretty dope. They put out a project together.
You listen to it, Sweats?
Yeah, I listen to it. Right now, my favorite track is, I forget the title of it, but I know it's about Claudine.
Oh, well, Shay Noir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, that's my favorite one, so.
Listeners, listen to that album. I think it's like Coupe de Gras or Coupe de Grace, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to it. Nigel, I know you ain't listened to it because you were silent. So make sure you listen to it, Nigel.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fuck you.
whose loss is it anyway?
It's not mine. Permanently yours.
Nah. Yeah, that I think you'll like that one. And also, like, it's with Reason, Wale and Benny the Butcher. It's like a 3-song EP. It's called No More, No Less, Demo 1. So I think you'll like that also. It's pretty good. So
yeah. Speaking of Wale, Spence, I know you're a big fan.
I didn't listen to it.
Wow. Yeah. Get off the podcast. Just
bye.
Full Lauren 2 came out, and yeah. I did not listen to it either, but... I thought the Wale fan of the group would listen to it.
I didn't listen to it either. Yo.
You from D.C.
It don't matter. It don't matter. Shouts out to Wale, living legend. It don't matter. I didn't listen to the album. I'm pretty sure this album's like came out. You didn't listen to Max or Cream shit.
I've been listening to that for like the past couple of days.
What's your favorite song?
Yeah.
You can't even name it. Don't even. Listen to it.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, it's hard to say because my favorite song was actually a single before it dropped, which was Local Joker.
That song is hard.
That is a good song.
So I think the song I like the most on there is Greener Knots.
Which one is that?
Like towards the end of the album.
Oh, okay. I think I know which one you're talking about.
But I also been listening to the re-release of Ghostface Killah's album, Iron Man, because they just re-released it over the weekend.
I listened to that the other day.
Well, what's your favorite song off of there?
Off of that one, it might be a song. Like dun 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 dun. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, that's the I know. I just talking about.
Okay, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that song.
You're talking about Daytona 500.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's my That's not my favorite song. It's a good song though. I like the first few songs with Raekwon on there. I think they're like amazing as a tandem together.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Which one do you like more, this or Only Built for Cuban Links?
I just started listening to Only Built for Cuban Links today, actually, because I wanted to listen to albums, those albums back to back. So ask me next week and I'll give you which one I think is better.
Okay.
Because
I just listened to both of them, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was literally listening to that shit today.
Honey, y'all just listened to the Purple Tape?
Nah, what?
I'm tripping.
Only Built for Cuban Links.
Yo, just listen to that?
No, but we were listening to them just, you know, for the sake of doing so.
I thought you meant like you were listening to them for the first time.
No.
Oh, I was about to say, man. Boy, listen, man. That's those are both really good albums, though. I mean, to me, I'm not going to lie to you, though. To me, Ghostface is probably like my favorite out of the group.
I like Ghostface, and I don't know, man. I just think Raekwon is a little better.
No, he's not.
I'm not mad at that.
I think we should revisit this next week because, like I said, I am listening to the albums back to back. I listened to all of Iron Man over the weekend. I listened to the album more than once. I started re-listening to Cuban Links today. So by the time the podcast comes back, I'll be like, all right, this is the Tribal Chief's official selection. The only selection that matters. Hey, Nigel, let the listeners know where they can follow us.
Yeah. You can follow us.
What's up?
Go ahead, Spence.
I was going to say before that, just speaking on Wu-Tang, if listeners haven't had a chance, please watch the Wu-Tang, the American Saga show on Hulu. It's an amazing show.
I actually might start watching it. Somebody sent me a clip and I was like, yo, I really like it.
Bro, listen, I watched it and I had to go back and I'll put it like this. There are certain scenes that are in that show that I'm like, oh, this is kind of dope. But then you actually go and look up like the historical events of when they happen. Yeah. It's literally verbatim. Like they're literally quoting themselves from 20, 30 years ago. When they were up and coming, or like there's like maybe videos of their first few shows, it's literally copying what those conversations were then that are on record and they're putting them in the show.
So they're trying to be a little bit more like accurate. Cause I heard some stuff wasn't so accurate. Am I wrong?
Some stuff.
I think in the first season, yes. Like did you watch anything in the first season?
None of it at all.
Oh. Well, never mind then.
You talking about like the whole beef? But you talking about that beef?
I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it. But we could spoil it though.
Mm. Yeah. Now that you talk about it,
yeah.
You remember the time when Raekwon was like robbing little girls in the show?
Mm.
It's like nah.
I was gonna say like, yo, what's that season two? So I didn't start watching season two yet.
Oh, listeners, season two is like, I'm not gonna lie to you,
it's dope.
It's so dope that it made me go back and watch, like listen to like everybody else. And on top of it, I think the actor that plays ODB,
yeah,
is doing like a great job, probably like a really amazing job. So
yeah, he's cool though. I fucks with him.
Yeah, definitely so, but. I don't want to keep it. We've been holding their ears for so long, man. I don't want to keep them too much longer. So before we actually head out, Nigel, how about you tell them? Actually, matter of fact,
no, I can tell them. Wow. I can tell them.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting.
Nigel, how about you tell them where they can find us at, man?
The listeners can follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram. Advise Highly on Twitter. If you want to see us, come to the Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube. Look us up, like us, subscribe, comment, all that good shit. You've been highly advised.
You've been highly advised. Rest in peace, Mac Dre.
Rest in peace.